Hello, and thank you for joining us for another episode of That Solo Life, the podcast for PR pros and marketers who work for themselves. I am Michelle Kane. My company is Voice Matters, and I am here as ever with my wonderful co-host. She is the one who draws us all together at Solo PR Pro. It is Karen Swim. Hi, Karen. How are you today?
Hello, Michelle. I am so great. I love So you guys, sometimes before we tape, we have like a little warm-up chat, we'll call it, where Michelle and I just kind of, actually, it's Michelle and I catching up from the last time that we talked. And it's always like one of my favorite parts of our Wednesday.
I agree.
To connect with Michelle. So we were talking and we were like, well, you know, at this time of the year, as we go into the final month of the first quarter, maybe we should do a check-in on goals. And we were like, nah.
Because then we'd have to fess up to, how are your goals going? Well, not bad, but not great. I'm counting on March. Yeah, that's it.
March. That's going to be January.
Yeah, that's the ticket.
And it was going to be February, but, you know.
This is March 1st that you're hearing this. So, you know, go get them. But in the meantime, we found ourselves lately, and it seems like it's a kind of a global thing of being bogged down with too many words.
Too many words.
Because Karen, I know you were saying you get pitched a lot for the Solo PR Pro blog. And so you're of course the PR Pro pitching, but you're also in a unique position of getting pitched. And I think you experience what a lot of our journalist friends experience, that, you know, as PR pros, we're passionate about our clients and their stories. And we want to just go, oh, you have to know everything at once. And then sometimes, no.
Yeah. So, you know, the too many words themes run it because it ran through it runs through my head almost every day in some form or fashion, and it's always around, for me, email communication. Mm-hmm. That I think is a lot different, you know, when you are writing a post or you know, writing a longer form post on any other medium. You may have the opportunity to play with words a little bit more and to do a little more of the fun storytelling. But when it comes to, you know, email communications and pitches, I think people really do err on the side of just too many words. And here's the real key. It's not necessarily the length of the email. It's that the common thread that I find is that the focus is not on the reader or on their audience, it's always on you. And so you're using a lot of words that no one cares about. I get these emails that are, you know, three paragraphs long, and the first two paragraphs are all about how great the person is, how great their product is. It's all around pushing their product, their service, their narrative, and none of it is about me and our audience and how it will benefit. And you know, I see this in other forms too, but I think that we have to flip that by really stopping. Like this, you know, we have this view of people, of journalists, of bloggers, of, you know, those that we want to get their attention. We have this view that they're there to serve us. Mm-hmm. I'm not your brand advocate, and neither is a journalist. A journalist is not your brand advocate. Their job is not to cover your client. Your job might be to get coverage for your client, but guess what? The journalist's job is to write a great story that the readers are going to benefit from, whether it entertains them, delivers some, you know, information that is useful to them. And so you have to keep that in mind. Who is this reporter? Who is this outlet? Who are the people that read this publication? And what information would be useful, entertaining, interesting to them? And then very succinctly focus on that. You can tell that story in three sentences. Doesn't take a whole bunch of words. And guess what? If an outlet or a reporter is interested, you know, they may say, wow, that sounds really great. Tell me more. Yes, we'd love to talk to your person, or yes, we'd love to do a story on this topic. It doesn't take a lot.
Right. And that's supported in, the reality that we live. At least once or twice a year at the Philly PR Association, we have journalist panels, and our evergreen question for them is, how do you like to be pitched? How can we not annoy you? And it's always, give me some bullet points, the short version. If I'm interested, you'll hear from me. Don't worry. And also, even though you might be on a certain time frame, you may not hear from me for a while because I'm covering other things. And I love what you said about being audience focused. I mean, that's one of the main things we learned way back when we first, studied PR. It's always think about your audience, whether that audience is a journalist or the journalist's readers. That's focus number one. Your client is not necessarily your audience. The client is engaging with you because they know you know how to reach the audiences. That's the gist of it.
I honestly feel like some of the too many words, like, it's funny. We were talking about, there's a funny Twitter thread about Clubhouse and how so many people are starting these rooms or starting the lead up to questions with this big, long story. And I've seen that, I realize that all of our audience may not be on Clubhouse, but it applies, because I think a common thing that happens, and please don't shoot tomatoes at me, but I believe that sometimes there's a little bit of insecurity when we use too many words.
Sure.
Because you feel like you need to really say a lot. Like, I really need to make them understand that this is important, instead of trusting and believing in your ability to communicate in as few words as possible, quite honestly, because people are busy. No one has time for like emails that are super long or preambles that are just get to the question, get to the point. It's not rude, and you can do that in a way that really inspires interest. This also happens when we have to send communications to clients, especially the difficult communications where you may need to set up a meeting to end a relationship, or you are having to manage some client behaviors, or you're having to set some expectations, or your contract really is out of scope and you need to bring it back into scope, or you need to ask for an increase. All of those kind of difficult, thorny things that we deal with, that's another place that people use a lot of words. And you don't need a lot of words even in those difficult situations. But I find that there's a whole lot of words. And when people ask me to review those emails, they're always surprised that I cut about half of it, because half of it is not needed, because it really is boiling down to you saying, with all of those words, you're kind of doing the, but what had happened was, and you're explaining yourself. And I feel like you don't really need to explain yourself. You don't really need to explain to someone why you deserve to be treated with respect. That doesn't require explanation. It just requires you empowering yourself and owning who you are, your company, your choices, your decisions, and then very respectfully stating things.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And
No, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I think it also comes down to, there's a certain ease in, your chosen profession. So there's that mind game of, well, I just put together this short email. I have put the salient points in. Surely that can't be enough, because that was almost too simple for me. These people are paying me to do X, Y, Z. Well, they're not, that's where the whole mind game of value versus, actual work product comes in. And it's, and I get it. I catch myself in it. But I almost liken it to, oftentimes we will be, you write an email and you reread it over and you send it. Well, maybe take a moment, and was it Coco Chanel? It was like, take off one piece of jewelry, or, Strunk and White, see if you can remove some words and still say what you need to say. We don't need to accessorize. Like you say, it's not like we're writing a long form blog post to weave a story.
Yes. Michelle, I love that. I love the analogy to Coco Chanel too, because I think that's one that people will remember. And so my trick on email communications is that I write the email without a to, because there's no way to accidentally send it before it's actually ready. Because if there's no email address in the to and you hit send, it's not going to go anywhere. So I write the email without the to first, and then I might let it sit. Like I might hit click, close it and let it sit over in drafts and move on to something else. Because especially if I am annoyed or tired or, whatever I'm feeling in the moment, I don't want that to come through. And so sometimes you just need a moment. Like sometimes you just need to get the green dreck out, as my friend Lily says. You need to just spit it out. And then you need to let it hang out over there like your first draft, and then go back and edit it with a little bit clarity of mind. And another good way is just to compose an email in a whole different program altogether. Grab a Google Doc and jot down your thoughts, or if you're a Word person, just jot it, or jot it down in any note-taking app, and then let it breathe, and then you can go back, edit, and send.
Yeah,
But
I,
invariably,
yeah.
yeah, have you done that? I mean, it works for
I've,
me.
yeah, especially if it's, a major thing that I'm pitching, I'll do a couple of different versions of pitches and I'll do it, yeah, like you say, in a Google Doc or a Word doc, just to make sure I'm getting my thoughts together and not just, like shooting from the hip. And that way you have a record of it. So, if, I mean, certainly you're tailoring your pitch, but it doesn't mean you have to kill yourself to tailor them each time, to so such a specific variation. They're not comparing notes. Oh, she used this word in my pitch, blah blah blah. But I mean, these journalists get, hundreds of emails a day, and their time is tighter and more precious than ever. And they're up against, so many more barriers and potholes, for lack of a better word, than ever before. So it's on us to try and, get their attention, but do so in a way that is respectful of their time as well. And on a subconscious level, it's not like they're going to say, wow, that person was respectful of my time. No, they're after a while, they're going to get to know, like, hey, you know what? Karen's great. She uses great subject lines. She gives me three bullet points. Why I should care? Wonderful. So
I love that. I totally agree. And I, it's interesting. There's a journalist that I follow and that, I have pitched on Twitter. And he recently, shared like, hey, I cannot cover any more funding announcements. It's not that you're not great. There's just too many of them. And when you think, like, if you follow this kind of news, there are funding announcements every day, and they all start to really honestly look the same. And I know I'm somebody that works in technology, lots of, funding happens. I work with fintech clients, but I'm going to say something that may get me into a little bit of trouble. But, in my opinion, funding news is just not that exciting. And so our approach has always been, what's the bigger story here? What's that thing that is going to be interesting to someone's readers rather than focusing on a number or just the funding? And, PR pros, please get better at setting realistic expectations for your clients, but digging deeper and pushing your clients to think more in a vein of audience readership value. And this goes back to my whole philosophy about my life, is I have a people first mindset. So I'm always going to think about the people before other things. And those people obviously are often my clients. I'm thinking about them. Okay, how are my actions really helping them? Am I solving a problem? Am I driving greater value for them? How am I contributing to their business? What would be meaningful to them? But then I also think about that when I'm pitching, when I'm putting together strategy, even when I'm sharing on social media, because you got to think about people first. It drives me bananas again that we're so selfish. I see people that say that they want to be influencers. Why?
I call it the so
What
what.
does that even mean? I mean,
Yeah.
read Jason's book, please read Winfluence, but what does that even mean that you want to be an influencer? How is this a career aspiration?
Yeah.
I am more moved when people say that, when their goal is not to become an influencer, but it's because they have a passion for something or expertise in something, and they see a need, and that they're, moving the needle for other people. And oh, by the way, as a byproduct of you, being in the space and sharing or showing people how to do something or inspiring, encouraging, teaching, that you have been able to profit in your purpose. But I'm less moved when somebody just wants to be an influencer because it seems cool.
Right, exactly. And, I don't often say the words to my clients, but, I was thinking, so what? Okay, so we're going to release this news. So what? Because that's what the journalist is going to be asking. So what? We've got to get beyond that. Like with your fintech clients, like, great, they got funding. How's that going to improve our world? Or how's that going to advance a sector? Because there's the story, right? And,
yeah.
We know we all have the usual, like, this person's joined the company, and we know they get in the little achievers blurbs, and that's fine because we know that's what we do. But when it's something outside of that, even if it's a new company with a new, different kind of service, it's like, okay, well, how's this going to change lives? Do you have any examples, people that we could talk to about it? And rather than just saying, here are people and they do a thing and it is good. Okay.
Yeah.
That's all well and good, but
there's a term in sales. It's an old term, and it's called WIFM, WIIFM. And that stands for what's in it for me. And so, if you've ever been in sales, that's been drilled into you, is that you always have to identify the WIFM, meaning what's in it for the person that you're trying to sell to. And that keeps the focus where it belongs on that person and their needs and their problems. And you know what? Sometimes you're not the solution, but that's okay. Like, we can't have fear that, we're going to get rejected. And so, if you just like take a little yellow posty Stick-It note or pink or orange, because I like all the colors, or green, or, however you need to remind yourself, make it your screensaver and put with them, so that you keep that in mind as you're communicating it. It could help you to stay on track.
That's perfect. I love that. I love that. I'm going to get my post-it out and get it together. Together. But I think, it's so true. And we could all be reminded of this. Please don't take this as we're like, you use too many words.
I was going to say that, I am guilty of anybody rambling, not getting straight to the point. It's not that we're perfect. It's just that we want to strive to be a little more conscious and a little more intentional in our communications.
Right.
And in written spaces, we especially have so much control over that.
Absolutely.
You don't always have control in mediums where, like this, where it's conversational.
Right.
Sometimes you have to work at it, and, like today, I'm probably rambling a little because I'm a little tired.
You are good. You are good. No, it's funny. It reminds me, I don't even know what the movie was anymore, but it was Diane Wiest and John Cusack. And she just kept going, don't speak. Don't speak. These are the things that roll in my head. But I've even found it, like you say, with client communication, where, you want to be that industrious good person and you write up the whole recap of the meeting that you just had. And here are all our initiatives. And you realize that, you could follow up with a client and on one of those items, they're like, oh, yeah, that sounds great. Here it is. I'm like, well, I asked you for that and the other thing, but I get it. Too many words. So don't feel bad, because, we're all human. And, I know I get tired of blaming the pandemic, but it really is, affecting us on a fatigue level that we really can't put a finger on, but it's there.
Because we have an overwhelming volume of communications. We have way more Zoom meetings. We have way more, emails coming at us, because when you displace people from their normal workflow, it shows, you know, there's just a lot more. And you're right. I think we all are fatigued. And in the old days, please don't hate me because I don't mean to be, I don't mean to be offensive, but I used to say, communicate like a dude. And I don't mean that in a bad way. And I know that not all men are succinct, but you know, I always remember there was this great cartoon and it had like a male that had gotten a haircut and a guy was like, nice haircut. And then there was a woman who had gotten like a new hairstyle and another woman, there was like all of these panels about the, you know, the woman was reacting like, oh my God, did you get your hair done? Wow, I love that color. Now, what, you know, product did she use in your hair? And oh, wow, you look like where guy was like, nice haircut. And so I always remember that cartoon because it was hilarious. And, you know, in the typical gender roles, which I realize are not always true anymore, but I used to say that like, communicate like a dude. And so sometimes I felt like I did that. And I felt like sometimes I was too succinct and too blunt. So I, you know, work on that.
No, it's true. It's true. But it's okay. So if we leave you with anything, it's just, you know what, take the extra 10, 15 seconds and look at that email or reconsider that pitch, especially if you find, you know, if you're having frustration with, you know, no one biting. I mean, there's a myriad of reasons for that right now. If, you know, more than ever before. But, you know, just it's sometimes we all need the reminder. So this is, you know, for us as well as for you, our lovely audience. And, you know, please share with us at soloprpro.com. We want to hear from you. What are your tricks of the trade to get yourself to not do the 5-panel recipe? Oh my gosh, just tell me if I need to, you know, buy 60 ingredients or not for this thing. So we thank you yet again for spending time with us and listening, and we'll see you next time on That Solo Life.